שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, רבי קהילת המשיח בתוך ישראל. Welcome, my friends, to Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, I want you to come with me to a birth. No births are ordinary, I know, and the birth I ask you to attend is superlatively extraordinary. It is the birth of a book. Again, the ordinary is absent, for this book is unique. It is the only book of its kind ever to appear. Fail to see it, and you have failed to see perhaps the supreme wonder of the created universe. This book is so immense that if all the libraries of the world were consolidated into one gargantuan edifice, it would be too Lilliputian to contain it, because its pages are people. Its paper, the scroll of historic ages. Its ink, the tears, the laughter, the songs, the sighs, yea, the very blood of the sons of Jacob. But, above all, and be this noted, its author is God. But now thus saith the Eternal that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Yes, God himself is the author, creator, and redeemer of this animated, pulsating volume, the Jewish people and nation. Of such a manual, monogrammed by God himself, the words of Bulwer Lytton may well apply. In you are sent the types of truths whose life is the to come. In you soars up the Adam from the fall. In you the future as the past is given. Even in our death ye bid us hail our birth. Unfold these pages and behold the heaven, without one gravestone left upon the earth. In preceding messages, we have watched the golden sands of Egypt, absorbing the tears of a bondaged people, and speeding those salty sorrows in heat-evaporated prayers to the heavens above. We have seen the answer of heaven, dispatched in human entity from a thorn-crowned god in Midian. We have seen this Moses, divinely empowered, topple a tyrant from his tyranny. And now the pains of a judged nation provide the birth pangs of the newborn Israel, the messianic nation. Oh, my dear friends, the lessons to be learnt from such a birth must not be lost upon us. Would God the world would master them. I beseech you, let us not be inattentive. Come, let us press right through into the very scene and circumstance of the Egyptian Passover, the birth of Israel. The oppressed and terror-stricken Hebrews had been long crying to the God of our fathers for deliverance, and at last the Deliverer was in their midst. How they must have hung upon his lips, the lips of Moses, as he now begins to instruct them in the way out. Out of bondage into liberty, from fear to freedom, from ignominy to independence. What then is the first divinely authorized instruction of our great deliverer, Moses? It will be positively fascinating to hear it, because, as the famous Rabbi Nachmanides correctly observes, it was the very first commandment ordained upon Israel as a people. Here it is. Listen. Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim. Rishon hu lachem lochodshei hashanah. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, It shall be the first month of the year to you. How strange this must have sounded in the Hebrew ears. It was actually the seventh month, known as Abib. And now Moses commands its cancellation and replaces it with the first month, known as Nisan, thus changing the calendar, substituting the first for the seventh, and making a new beginning. A sentimental ordinance, no doubt, one would be tempted to imagine, for births do mark new beginnings. But did those Hebrews in Egypt feel that this was the time for sentiment? The iron heel of Egypt's taskmasters, pressed upon the throats of slaves, doesn't tend to squeeze poetry from pain-wrecked people. This is no Shakespearean play, Moses, with poetry preceding performance. Action, not artistry, is what we want. Can't you hear the tramp of Pharaoh's legions? Patience, patience, Talmudim. Listen further to this Moses, please. In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man. Ah, now we're getting places. This looks like business at last. A day appointed, the tenth. The men assembled to take to them every man. Well, no need for speculation here. What do men need to blast their way out of Pharaoh's clutches? There is only one answer. Weapons. Knives, swords, spears, guns, gas, atom bombs. This is the way to liberty, of course. But, Moses, where shall we find these weapons? We know we need them, and we are willing to fight Pharaoh under your leadership. But with these bare hands? True, they are hard and calloused enough through the toil Pharaoh has placed upon us. But are they adequate to pluck the spears from his armies? Are these labor-lean feet so swift and agile that they can outspeed his chariots? What shall we men take? Ye shall take every man a lamb. What an anticlimax! Can quivering flesh and blood suddenly petrify? Is this witchcraft that has instantly immobilized a multitude? The people stand stunned. So sentiment is succeeded by stupidity. First Moses changes the calendar. Now he's going to lift the load and lash the legions with a lamb. Is this a leader or a lampoon? Dear God, have we been tricked to trust a tipesh? Is Moses a delivering instrument or a demented idiot? Oh, Israel, Israel, hold back the mounting anger. Remember the 10 plagues. Patience, patience. Our way may be weapons, but God's way is first the lamb. The weapons may follow, of course, but the lamb must go before. The blood of sacrifice must ever be the God-appointed way to ultimate freedom. Yes, surely Moses is the deliverer, and because God-appointed offers no limited liberty, such as might be obtained by weapons alone, the larger liberty he offers includes this liberty too. But with it, he presents liberty to enjoy the God of freedom, the God of Israel, in the sun-bathed blessedness of satisfactory atonement for sin by the blood of the Lamb. Rashi, Avraham ibn Ezra, and Rashbam are amongst our great Jewish commentators who recognize and declare that the Paschal Lamb was in the nature of a sacrifice. Is it any wonder that the lamb became the zodiacal sign for Nisan, the first month of the year? On the left bank of an arm of the Nile, in the western delta, in the year 1799 of the Common Era, there was found an irregularly shaped slab of black basalt, now universally known as the Rosetta Stone, and thought perhaps to have originally stood in a temple built by Pharaoh Necho of the 26th Egyptian dynasty. It bore parallel inscriptions in Greek and in Egyptian hieroglyphic and demotic characters, which rendered possible the decipherment and release to the world of the mysteries of the ancient Egyptian writing. One of these primitive Egyptian hieroglyphs is in the form of a cross, and its meaning is Savior, Deliverer. Is it not fascinating to observe that when the ancestral Hebrews in Egypt obeyed the command of Moses to put the blood of the lamb on the two side posts and on the lintel of their houses, their arm movements in so doing would generally conform to the outline of this symbol of deliverance, this sign of saviorhood. Abraham Ibn Ezra well remarks that the mark of blood was designed as an atonement for those within the house who partook of the paschal offering. Do you suppose that anything like this could have been in the mind of that great Jew, Yochanan, when, looking upon that greater Jew, Yeshua, as he walked, cried, Hine se ha Elohim, ha nose chatat ha olam. Behold the Lamb of God, the bearer of the sin of the world. It is highly important that we should find an adequate answer to such a question as this. So do, please, keep listening. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nav eilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nav eilecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.